We've been in the series all summer. We got two more weeks in Galatians 5, Galatians 6 next week. Galatians 5, verse 16, if you have a Bible. We'll go 19, verse 19. 19 to 26, have a YouVersion app as well, if you want to follow along there, or it's on the screens. It says this: when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And there is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. Let's pray. God, I pray these next couple minutes, as the truth of your word sinks into our hearts, I pray that you would help us. Help us to see. Help us to have a heart that follows. God, I pray that you would show us where we are. God, help us to not be blinded to the truth, but to see clearly what it is that the Spirit is saying to us as individuals, to us as a church, to us as husbands and wives, as sons and daughters. God, give us the strength to hear what you're saying to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm sure you've been in situations where your patience has been severely tested. And of the nine fruits of the Spirit, there's so many there that you look at, and those nine fruits, and we can spend a week on each one of them. I've chosen, out of Galatians 5, to talk about patience, to talk about waiting, to talk about what it is, because usually my prayer personally is, God, give me patience and give it to me now. Yeah? If you're honest in this room, you know patience is very difficult. And I would rather talk about love. I'd rather talk about being kind, about being faithful. But I think so much of these nine fruits come one after the other. For example, peace is right before patience. I think it's impossible to be patient if I don't have peace. I think it's impossible for me to be kind and not have love. And so when we talk about patience, they all go hand in hand, and I encourage you, I strongly encourage you to do a study on Galatians 5, to do a study on specifically verses 22 and 23. I encourage you to do that on your own. If you want to go deeper, I encourage you to say, God, where am I? Am I following the ways of my own flesh, or am I following your Spirit? And here's the test in all this. And we're going to talk about some of this. But patience is one of the most difficult. And if you look at the Bible, there's 45 times that it talks about patient or patiently or waiting and patience. And there's three things specifically that it talks about: God's patience towards us. It talks about our patience towards others. And then our patience towards God. Those 45 times is whether it says waiting or whether it says long-suffering, which is another translation. King James calls it long-suffering. That's awesome, right? Who wants to be suffering? Oh, not just suffering, long-suffering, right? If you look up the definition of what it means, I mean, it gets crazy. The patience, the quality that does not succumb to circumstances or succumb under trial. So he's not talking about patience from a good standpoint, like patiently waiting in a line at Disney is not really patience. Right? You're at Disney, folks. Let's remember that. That's not a trial. Oh, man. Have you ever been to the DMV? No, I'm just kidding. You're like, nobody's in here. Why did I still wait 45 minutes? Like, what is going on? Is everybody on break at 9 o'clock? So let's talk about these, God's patience towards us. 1 Timothy 1 says it this way. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. I love this. Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners. Here's what he's saying. And I'm the worst of them. But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. He's saying, listen, here's the example. I'm the worst of them all. And I'm thankful that God had patience towards me because it took me a longer time. And if you're German, if you're from this time, you're more stubborn than them all. And he says, God's great patience. I'm partly German, so I can say that, right? It's like short jokes. I can say those, okay? The more stubborn you are, the more difficult it is. And he's saying, I'm the worst of them all, and I am thankful for God's great patience with me. If you're in this room and you've not accepted Christ and you've said, you know what, I've chosen not to follow Jesus, you should be grateful for nothing else today except that God is patient. You should be thankful that today you have breath. That means God is patient with you. And then there's patience with others. Ephesians says it this way. Paul's telling the Ephesian church, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. He's saying, listen, your patience with other people is not being patient with them in the good, but being patient with them because of their faults. And you have people in your life that have faults. This is a good time. You can say amen even though your spouse is next to you. You have people in your life that do weird things. And Paul is saying to you, the believer, you have to be patient with other people. That's what he's saying. Then he says in Colossians 3:12, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and he should have stopped there, and patience. And patience. See, here's the reality. You and I can't be patient with others without the work of the Holy Spirit. See, we tend to think as patience as a personality trait. Patience is not a personality trait. Patience is the work of the Holy Spirit. When I'm choosing to follow the Holy Spirit, that the fruit of that is that I am patient. Is some people more patient than others? Absolutely. Do some people gravitate to the 9 fruits of the Spirit a little better? Absolutely. I like watermelon more than I do blueberries. That's a fruit of the Spirit. I'm not saying I'm more loving than my wife, but I am saying she is more patient than her husband. And we need that balance. But it doesn't mean that I don't say, well, since my personality isn't really a patient person, I don't need patience. It means it's showing that I'm relying on me when I'm being impatient and not on the Holy Spirit. That's what that reveals. It is a work of the Holy Spirit. This is not a, well, if I'm just going to, I'm going to try really hard today, even if it kills me to be patient. That's not how that works. I'm going to read a book on patience and then maybe I'll be good to go. That's not how it works. 1 Thessalonians, Paul saying, he says, brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy, to encourage those who are timid, and take tender care of those who are weak, and be patient with everyone. Here's what Paul's saying. Fellow Christians, fellow church. He's not calling sinners to be patient. He's calling fellow Christians, fellow believers, brothers and sisters. He's saying, you have to be patient. First and foremost, with the people you go to church with, you have to be patient. And then not just them, you got to be patient with everyone. And here's the call. Here's the warning that your patience isn't just for the church. Your patience is for every single person you come in contact with. And it comes back to 1 Timothy when he says, you do that so that people realize that they need Jesus too. That's why. He's saying, yeah, brothers and sisters, you got to be patient with the people you go to church with because the same expectation on them is on you, but you cannot expect sinners to be patient when it's the work of the Holy Spirit. So you show them patience. This is where it gets difficult because this is where we start saying like, well, that's great, but you don't understand my family. Or you don't understand idiot drivers. Like, I got to be patient with people when they drive. We become the worst Christians when we get behind the wheel. That's why we don't have bumper stickers, you guys. People have asked, can I get a sticker? I'm like, heck no. You are not getting anybody's sticker. I'm hesitant to give you a t-shirt. You want a sticker? We made a mistake several years ago at Columbia Days Parade where we threw out t-shirts with our names on them. What the heck were we thinking? I saw kids smoking an e-cig outside with a Life Community shirt on. It's like, where'd you get that shirt to parade? I'm like, oh my gosh, we're dumb. We got to put a different message on that. Like, I got this at the parade from Life Community Church, but what I do does not respond, you know. What does it say at the end of those? The opinion of this, you know. Man, oh man. Anyway. We have to be patient with God. This is where it gets difficult. Being patient with God is, and I'll get into this, trusting what God's plan is. James specifically talks about the day of the Lord returning and being patient like a farmer in James 5, 7, and 8. But it goes so much deeper that we're not just waiting for God to come back, waiting for the rapture to happen, that we're actually doing stuff. And in doing stuff, it's trusting that God is in control and his timing is the most important thing. And this is where it gets hard because you and I aren't patient a lot of times when we know what God has asked us to do. That video, everybody knows it. Everybody's talking about it, yet it's 10 years later before it actually happens. See, when we read scripture, we tend to go verse 12, verse 13. It doesn't always happen that way. Sometimes there's 400 years in between. Malachi and Matthew. You know, sometimes there's space there. Sometimes that's why when we say study scriptures, we're saying go deeper in scriptures so that we're not just seeing it from our timeline. They waited. Could you imagine? Could you imagine Noah, 120 years? Come on. You and I, like, 120 minutes. God spoke it. I mean, some of these kids this week were like, I know God's called me into the mission field. That doesn't mean you're going to Africa next week. There's some things that have to happen. We don't like process. We like end results. So here's four tests. Four tests of how patient you are. Okay? You can write these down. You can evaluate yourself. The first test to your patience is interruptions. Interruptions. How are you with interruptions? It's an honest question. Jesus' disciples didn't like it, didn't like interruptions. It says this in Matthew 19. One day, some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could lay hands on them. But the disciples scolded the parents. Didn't just say they kindly asked him to leave. Said he scolded them for bothering Jesus. But Jesus said, let the children come to me and don't stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children. The disciples looked at this as an interruption. Jesus looked at it as an opportunity. How do we view our interruptions? And you will have interruptions. I'll never forget, like 9 years ago, I'm driving across Papa Street Bridge and going to the church that I worked at the time. And blew a tire on the Poplar Street Bridge at 8:15 in the morning. And it was a Monday. Passenger side, literally looking over, seeing the water, you know? And I'm sitting there going, this is not good. And, you know, there's, at the time, three lanes. I'm taking up one of them. People are flipping me off, yelling at me. And in my mind, I'm going, yeah, this is what I planned on, you know, like, thanks for flipping me off right now. This is what I wanted to do today. Thankfully, a guy from MoDOT came, pulled into the second lane, changed my tire for me. Then he started getting flipped off, you know? So it was like, but interruptions. How do you respond to interruptions? And you will have interruptions. There's some moments in our life when interruptions happen, and it's all a question of how we respond, because this is a test of our patience. It's not a test of our patience when what you plan for the day happens, but when what you plan for the day didn't happen. And these come in so many different forms. Whether you're going to the doctor and you're there longer than you wanted to, or the hospital, or you get stuck on the side of the road, flat tire. Your time is not your time, it's God's time. And when you choose to follow Christ, he's saying, if you want to be patient, I'm going to test you in your patience and test you in your prayer. It's not a cruel punishment. It's God giving us more patience through opportunities to be patient. That's why God gives you second kids. Because the first kid is like real laid back. It's like, no big deal. Like, my God, we could do this again. Let's try it. Then you get a second kid and you're like, oh dear Jesus. Same seed? No way. What's happening here, you know? And then God says, how about three? And you're like, three? Oh, three was easy. Oh, let's do four since three was so easy. Oh, four, my God. Four, why are you like two? Oh, God's plan. And then God whispers things to you like two and four are like you. Oh, man. Everybody in here has one kid. You're like, yep. Smarter than you are. Yes, you are. Where were you at 15 years ago? Anyway, second one is inconveniences. How do you deal with inconveniences? We hate being delayed. We are a now generation with instant everything, with fast food everything. How are you with inconveniences? When you're inconvenienced, how do you handle it? Come on, be honest with yourself. Do not make the person next to you nudge you. How do you handle it? How do you handle inconveniences? How do you handle irritations? And we all have irritations. We are irritated really easily, and we all have certain things. This I will have you shout out. Give me some irritations. Talk to me, people.
Lying.
I'm gonna throw in mine in between. Late people. All right. Bad drivers. I heard that one. Give me some other ones. Rude people. All right.
People not doing their job.
People not doing their job. Like it. Rule followers. Yep. Anybody? What else? Come on. Come on. Talk to me. What was that?
Tailgaters?
Too close. I got you. I was like, we don't tailgate anymore because we don't have a football team. I didn't know what you're talking about. Tailgating, yes. People drive too close.
Not using the acceleration
when getting on the highway. Not using the acceleration when getting on the highway?
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of driving irritations. May I suggest an Uber? No, I'm just kidding. A bike? Sassy teenagers. She's here today, too. Some more irritations. Maybe this side of the room.
Freeloaders.
There's a story behind that one. Let's grab a mic. Kelly, come on. No, just kidding. No, just kidding. Any more from this side? What?
Litter bugs.
People that litter. Whiners. Wow, we're getting after it today. we're a 501c3, so I'm going to leave that one alone. What? Did I hear one over here? Before? Tantrums? Like kid ones or adult ones? They have tantrums, yeah.
Mosquitoes.
Mosquitoes. Mosquitoes. Interruptions, yeah. guess right now could qualify for some people, huh? All right, you're done. So if you read Numbers 20, there's a passage about Moses and Aaron, and I'll paraphrase it, and you can look it up later, but basically it says that the people are complaining about Moses and Aaron. It says basically they blame Moses and Aaron for where they are in the desert. And it says at that moment, Moses and Aaron do something that's very vital that I think all of us should do. That when people complained and blamed them, it says that they went into the presence of the Lord. And it said when they went into the presence of the Lord, they prayed and God spoke specifically to them and said, gather the people. And when you gather the people, speak to the rock and water will come from that rock. Watch what I'm about to do is what he's saying. Watch what I'm about to do. So people are complaining, which they're always going to do about you. People are blaming them for where they are, which is going to happen. Whether you're a parent, whether you're a boss, people are going to blame you. Okay? And with blaming comes irritations. And I would say 90%, maybe 99.9% of your irritations are going to be people. It's going to be people in your life. People that you don't know, people that you do know. And yet it says that when they went out, Moses was so aggravated, so irritated that he gathered the people as God said, and it says in his irritation that he took the stick and he smote the rock twice. In what? Irritation. And it says in the moment, this is God's grace at work, you guys. At that moment, it said water came out of that rock and the whole people of Israel drank their fill. Yet God turned to Moses and said, because you disobeyed, you will not enter the promised land. The people will, but you will not. Because there is a disobedience that happens when we're irritated. When we're irritated, it's really a test of how patient am I? And we can declare all day, I'm a patient person, I'm patient with others. We can declare that. We can put it anywhere that we want, but we find out when we're irritated how patient we are. And I'd say this last one, and this is a quick one. It's boredom or inactivity. Nothing good happens when you're bored. It's a test of your patience. See, when you and I aren't intentional, when we're not intentional, bad things happen. You don't accidentally become stronger in your faith. When you're bored or where there's inactivity in your life, and some of this comes from, I want to rest or I need to rest, and you need to rest. You need to get away. All those things need to happen. But you know when you're bored, and it's a test of your patience. Usually bad things happen. So how? How do I become a patient person? Here's just a couple things. Develop a new perspective. And here's what I mean by this. Instead of thinking you know what someone is really going through, find out what they're really going through. Choose to see it from their perspective. Instead of saying your opinion, instead of saying what you think really is happening, instead, go to them and say, what really is your perspective? Whether you agree with that perspective or not, sit down and have a decent conversation of where they are. If you're a parent, your kid's perspective. If you're a spouse, your wife's perspective. Get their perspective, and it's a new perspective. Not because they're going to change the way you think, but get their perspective. Get God's perspective. God, where are you at in this? That's how I become more patient. I see things differently than how I've always seen them. And that's okay. But if you have a problem with change, then you'll never see from a new perspective because you've always done it that way. How's that working out for you? You're praying the same prayer that you've always prayed, and God's wanting to know why you're not changing, because it's not because he's changed. He hasn't. Develop a new perspective. It says in Proverbs 20, 24, the Lord directs our steps. Listen to this. So why try to understand everything along the way? See, you and I want to try to figure things out, and God says, it's not for you to figure it out. It's for you to see from my perspective. This is a good one right here. Some of you, this is the biggest point you need to hear. Second thing, how to become more patient, get a sense of humor. Learn to laugh. Learn to have fun. People that laugh live longer. It's statistically true. It is. I don't know who volunteered for the test, but it's statistically true. A joyful heart makes a cheerful face, but the heart that is sad, the spirit is broken. Have a sense of humor. I would even say this. Learn to laugh at the things that are happening in your life. Some of you are like, it's not funny. What's happening is not funny. But when you are able to laugh at situations, and I'm not talking about happiness, I'm talking about a joy, and there's a huge difference. And we know that there's a difference. Happiness is circumstantial. Joy is in my heart. That's why the Bible constantly talks about joy, because if I have joy, then something different changes. That means peace is attached to that. Now I can laugh at the things that I've gone through instead of looking back with regret and remorse and shame and guilt. I should be looking back and going, I remember when I was like that. Man, I was stupid. This past week, I did, the thing I love to do the most. While camping with my family in parts of Missouri that no one knows exist, including cell towers. In 2009, I jumped off a cliff and I broke my butt, okay? And every time we walk back the mile to get to this cliff, my kids remind me. Even Lila, who was one at the time. Dad, remember the time when you broke your butt on that rock? Yes, I do. And I'm laughing at that situation. It's so awesome that you remember that when you were in diapers. So now new kids have come along and they remind me, remember the time you jumped off that cliff? You're like, you weren't even here, you little brat, you know? Like, I don't even know who you are. Why are you here? I'm laughing, you know? So I think this year's a good time to conquer that fear, to laugh at what I've mistakenly done in the past. So I got up on that cliff. It was a lot higher than I remember. My boys were there with me as they jumped off of it before me, shaming me from the grounds now as they've jumped off, and I'm hearing things like, jump off the cliff, you girl. And there's video of me jumping off, and I did it after 15 minutes delay, and I jumped off and I hit the bottom just like I did 9 years ago, and I slid along the bottom and I got up from the water, and the first thing I said was, I am never doing that again. The point is, I've learned to laugh at the fact that 9 years ago I broke my butt jumping off a cliff. You have to learn to laugh. Listen, learn to laugh at the mistakes you've made. You know why you made those mistakes? Because you're at a place where you weren't relying on the Holy Spirit. But you know what? Laughing at that and learning to laugh at it, but learning to also look at other people and say, I'm here to tell you not to make the same mistakes again. That's why you went through what you went through. And so God could use what you went through to teach somebody else, obviously not in cliff jumping. Go deeper. How do I become more patient? I go deeper, but not just deeper for any other reason, but to go deeper in love. 1 Corinthians is the love chapter, but it says love is patient. Go deeper in love. Because love is the thing that guides every fruit of the Spirit. And if I go deeper in love, then my joy increases, my kindness increases, my gentleness increases, my patience increases, my faithfulness increases. Everything increases when my love goes deeper. That's what it is. That you are to be known for this. That's what Jesus said. Now, my disciples are known for the way they love. Why? Because when you and I love, things change. People change. People view you different when you love different. So I challenge you from Galatians 5 to go deeper in love. Do things that you say, you know what, I don't think I want to do that. Go next Saturday and serve East St. Louis and watch what going deeper in love will do. Seriously, don't be afraid to go to a community that a lot of people have forgotten about. Choose to serve and to go deeper in love. Yeah? Because something will dramatically change. Listen, when I'm impatient, I'm not loving. When I'm impatient, I'm following the desires of my heart and not God's heart. And I'm not loving. Because bad things happen when I'm impatient. It's this crazy concept. Consequences. And there is consequences of impatience. There is consequences of moving ahead of God too quickly. Yeah. What is that a result of? Not being patient. Last thing. Depend on the Lord. Trust. When I'm impatient, ultimately, what I'm saying is, God, I don't trust you. When I'm impatient, I'm basically saying, God, I would rather trust myself than trust you. Depend on the Lord. Everybody from the Old Testament to the New Testament who was waiting on Messiah had to do one thing. That's one thing that you and I don't like to do, specifically me, is wait. 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 And when I don't wait, I say, God, I don't trust you. And I know that's difficult. Listen to what Psalm says. It says in chapter 37, verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he will help you. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. But be still in his presence, in the presence of the Lord, and wait patiently for him to act. And don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. He's saying, listen, the test of your patience is who are you depending on in this very moment of your life, right now? Who are you trusting? Who are you depending on? This is a test in whether you're patient or not, and who you're trusting your life with. This goes way beyond financial. This goes way beyond what you do. This goes way beyond the activity. This goes to every single thing in your life. Who do you trust your life with? It's ultimately a test of your patience. As I read this passage, Bam, why don't you come up? 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise. Hear this. The Lord really isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. God is patient. And he's saying, he's being patient for your sake. There's moments in your life where you're going, God, why is this not happening? And you see delay as a no. God says no does not mean, delay does not mean no. It just means not yet. Are you okay with that? Do you trust God in that? Do you trust God when he says, not yet, not yet, wait, wait? I was amazed as we sat at this water they call a creek that people love to enjoy swimming in, as Somebody we didn't even know had a dog. And the little, probably 2 or 3 year old girl that's standing there, and they would throw the ball out and the dog would wait. Even though the ball was out there, even though the dog could see the ball, the dog would wait. And then the little 2 year old would go, "Now." And the dog would run, get the ball, bring it back. That's incredible to me. And I don't even like dogs. And what? It was a lesson to me in going, that's God in us. That we might see it, and he might have spoke it, but it might be 10 years, and now he goes, now. Now. But the delay of me seeing it and going after it too early, there's consequence there. And God says, do you trust me? It's a test of our patience, you and I. You and I. So, as they play, I have a couple questions. This is for you. How are you handling situations in your life? Are you impatient with God? Do you complain to God and demand that he intervene and remove your trial? Or are you patient? Hear this. Are you patient in enduring the trials that are in front of you? See, you and I like to skip the process to get to the end result. And God says, you like end result, but I actually like process. So now there's this conflict. And the conflict is, God likes process of what we're becoming, and we like to just become. And God goes, you can keep fighting it, and your becoming will take you like this. Instead of just moving with him. That's why when he says, I've ordered your steps, and you don't need to know everything that's happening. So if you're in this room, you're like, but I want to know. You're going to do this for a very long time before you ever get here. And now this turns into, but why does that person over there do this? And you start comparing yourself and you want to know why they're moving ahead and why they're maturing. First and foremost, their speech and how they're communicating and how they're speaking into their situation is totally different than how you're speaking into it. And you want to know why they're doing this, but you're doing this is because of what you're saying. God, I want to know why I can't just get to the end. Why can't I just be there? It's because I more care about what you're becoming. See, we want to get there as fast as we can. And God says, ooh, slow down. Slow down. My timing, not yours. And all day long, you guys, all day long, this is real easy to say. Well, God's timing is perfect. Yeah, we know that. That's not always fun to hear, though. Tell that to the person that's been waiting 7 years. But ultimately, it's a test of your patience. Let me say this again. If you're not following Jesus, you really should be thankful for the patience of God today. And this is not a scolding or a I'm going to scare you into a relationship with Christ. This is an opportunity for you to realize that God's patience is keeping you from his wrath. And that's really how we have to look at it. God's patience towards us. And I'm concerned because the Bible's clear that you and I, none of us in this room, were promised tomorrow. None of us. We're not promised tomorrow. That's why Jesus said this statement in Mark 1. He said, the time promised by God has come at last. The kingdom of God is near. Repent from your sins and believe the good news. He's saying, we got to stop testing God's patience and go for it. Be all in. Go all out. Whatever coach you've ever heard say those words to you, it's no different in the kingdom of God. There's an urgency that's happening in our hour to follow the Spirit instead of our flesh, because no time is guaranteed by any of us. And busyness does not mean we're doing something for the kingdom. Guys, now more than ever, our ears need to be bent towards heaven and saying, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to us right now? Because I want to hear the voice of the Lord and what it is that you're saying for us in this hour. In this hour, because God's patience is bent towards us and he's saying, will you respond? Will you respond? This is the hour. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? Guys, we have people, men and women, front and the back of the church, and they're not a person that just stands because they like standing in the aisle or standing up front. They're there for you. They're there for you to pray with you, to encourage you, to talk with you, to answer questions maybe that you have. Or maybe your heart's so heavy today that you're like, I just want someone to pray with me. And that's all it is. They're all over this room. In the back, why don't you guys just lift your hands right now, whoever you are, just so that people know. Okay? We don't do this song at the end because it's routine. We do it at the end because it's a time to respond. Okay? And that response may be in worship. That response may be a personal prayer for you where you're at. Or that response may be to get out of your seat and to find a person that can pray with you, okay? Everybody responds differently, and it needs to be different every single week. So wherever you are today, God wants to meet you right there, okay? God, we thank you for this day. And God, I pray that wherever we are, now whether we're in the middle of irritations or interruptions, or God, maybe there's some inactivity that's happening in our life, or maybe we're in this room and verse 19 through 21 is happening where we're following the desires of our heart, and there's outbursts of anger, and there's quarreling, and there's sin that's happening in our hearts, and we need to, with humility, respond and say, Jesus, will you be Lord of my life? I want to follow the Spirit of God that produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. God, would you help us today? Be the men and women that you've called us to be. And may we grow as we remain in you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen.